This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Stretch.
Wait, what? Whoa, hey, we're on? Hey there, I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and man, is the whole team working quick today. Do you feel like you're constantly running out of time like I do? Do you ever think about moving to a new town but want to get paid? Today, to talk about these topics and more, we welcome from the Richer Souls podcast, Rocky Lavani, and from this podcast, the adorable OG. Wait. Who added the word adorable to my script? OG, have you been messing with my script again, you little minx? We're also going to answer a Bloom 3.0 call for help. And in our Friday FinTech segment, speaking of souls, the team at Tomorrow is helping you plan your estate. On your phone? Want to know more? We'll hear from company founder, a guy you'll be dying to meet. And now, the guy who's helping this weekend start off on the right foot, or left foot? Is it left or right? Anyway, here he is, Joe Saul-Sehy.
And it is, I think, on the right foot. Hey, everybody, I'm Joe Saul-Sehy, Average Show Money on Twitter, and welcome back to another fun Friday, and we're going to kick it off for you today with a phenomenal roundtable discussion. Let's introduce the players on this one. And we've got guys' night here in the basement. We're going to start right across the table from me where the one and only OG sits.
Another Friday. But just on the other side of this is Monday.
Yeah, that's great. Just when you were just starting to get depressed, it's going to get
hashtag
worse.
Hashtag Friday Motivation by OG. Deep thoughts.
Yeah, thank you. OG. And sitting between us, off to my right, off to OG's left, from the Richer Soul podcast, it's the one, the only, Rocky Lavani.
Thank you for having me. It's a blast to be down in the basement.
I am so happy you're here with us, man. So I was fortunate enough to be on your awesome podcast, which is way different than this one. It's actually a thoughtful podcast. So we don't know anything about that, Rocky. So tell the three people that don't know about your show what you guys do there.
So it's kind of life beyond money. You got rich, now what? And I think it's, for me, it was just a journey to understand that money wasn't going to bring happiness and that there's a lot more to life. And as we talked about on the show, it's pick the right mountain to climb, embrace the climb, and have fun and enjoy it.
It is
small steps.
You have some phenomenal discussions, and I just love digging into a show. I put on my running shoes, I put on your podcast, and you and a guest go with me for like 5 miles of sweating. Except I'm the only one sweating. You and your guest aren't sweating. But you know what you won't be sweating, Rocky?
What's that?
You won't be sweating the $450 that are in your wallet when you head to stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. Because the average person, Rocky, I don't know if you know this, when they go to Magnify Money, they find out that brick and mortar bank they've been banking at might not have the best stuff. Shocking, huh?
Absolutely shocking.
Incredible. Head to stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. Whether it's to find out if your checking account's the best, your savings account's the best, you should probably consolidate that debt. Or if you're doing the right thing and you pay off your debt in full every month, play the credit card reward game. Nick at Magnify Money says that if you get less than 2% cash back, you're leaving money on the table. stackybenjamins.com/magnify money. And I'll tell you what, as a guy that's had a lot of people in their house working surprising, Rocky, that there's nobody here working while you're down here with us in the basement. Got to say a big thanks to House Call Pro. It has been ugly at my house, and I think part of that is because these guys aren't using House Call Pro. Thanks to House Call Pro for supporting Stacky Benjamins. If you're ready to get your service business organized and streamlined, and let me refer you to other people because it seems like you have your act together, head to housecallpro.com/SB. They're going to waive your $99 activation fee. Head to housecallpro.com/SB. So if you've got a business and you've never been to Magnify Money, we've already made you $550. How great's that?
That is awesome.
Yeah, we're done. That's it. That's the end of the episode. Thanks for playing, everybody.
Roll credits.
Yes. All right. But we do got some great headlines today, so let's move.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's headlines.
Our first piece comes to us from Medium. I don't think we usually do pieces from Medium, but this one written by a Megan Holstein that I thought was interesting. The secret to having enough time. She writes, everyone's so busy these days. We wake up, we go to work. We have to stop by Time Warner after work to drop off that old router. That's oddly specific. Then an old friend wants to catch up. Then our boss surprises us by letting us know we need to turn in that report tonight. By then it's 11 p.m. And when are you going to have any time to work out or work on that startup idea you had? It seems like, Rocky, we'll start with you. It seems like we are. We're always on the treadmill, aren't we? And where you think technology would make it better, technology hasn't seemed to make it better. It seems to make it worse.
I got off the treadmill.
I
took my time back. I'm sure you've heard of the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule, right? So 80% of your results come from 20% of your efforts, which means that 96% of your results come from 40% of your effort. Now, if I can get 96% of my results from 40%, screw the last 4%. I don't care. I'm going to keep my 60% of time. I'm going to go have fun.
Well, wait a minute. What did you cut then? What did you cut?
Stupid stuff. The things that don't matter. The things that don't provide value. Now, it's going to take you a long time to figure all those things out. But like, you know, in the past, I'd be like, oh, I need something. Okay, I'm going to run to the store and get it and come home. Well, it's 15, 20 minutes to the store. It's 15, 20 minutes back. It's 15 minutes at the store. Can't find anything. Now I just go on Amazon. I go click, buy, ship. It's here in 2 days. Who cares if it's here in 2 days? I wasn't going to touch it for a week anyway. So there's an hour of my time right there with just one little thing.
I don't need mayonnaise on that sandwich today. Forget going to the store.
I'll just use this leftover coleslaw. It's got mayonnaise in it.
There you go.
How bad can that be?
I like mustard.
That coleslaw's only been out 8 hours. That's oddly specific too, OG. Are you making fun of me? Yeah, I think you're making fun of me.
It is. You know, you mentioned technology should save us from a lot of this stuff, and it does if you use it correctly. You know, you could connect with people across the world instantaneously these days, but that also means that they can connect with you. And so it's really important to set those boundaries that necessarily you didn't have to do 20 years ago because, you know, you didn't have a BlackBerry or an iPhone, and you couldn't be contacted that easily. So now it's important to take your cell phone and put it on Do Not Disturb or play trivia, whatever you're doing right now, Rocky.
It's Rocky Play.
Can you see my 162,000 unread emails? I didn't even look at them.
That's awesome.
Rocky does.
I love it. My wife would have a brain aneurysm if she saw that. She's like one of those people that clears. I've got... I'm at 276.
Just as an aside, Rocky wasn't kidding. When he says 162,000, I couldn't figure out why you were putting it in our face. It's 160. You have 162,000 emails you haven't even looked at.
I make sure that only certain people have my real email. Everything else that I sign up for goes to that email. And I don't even look at it.
That's why Rocky never responds to our requests and stuff. I finally figured out.
This is explaining a lot, actually. I'm meaning to talk to you about some money that you're owed overseas. A nephew of yours passed away. I don't know if you knew this or not, but I just need to wire it to you. But there's a lot of technology things that you can use to help if you do it correctly. I use a tool called SaneBox, and I don't remember what it is, maybe $100 a year. But it's just a Google plugin, and it goes through your email for you and says, here are all the emails that you typically reply to and read pretty regularly if somebody sends. And then here's the pile of emails that you'll maybe get to if you're bored. And then here's the big pile of emails that you haven't read ever in your entire life. We're never going to show you these. And it filters all your email as it comes in automatically. So as you mentioned, regaining time, Rocky, I think a lot of it has to do with being intentional about what you decide to do.
I did that with a free plugin, by the way, called Unroll.me. where it takes all of your emails that you rarely read, your subscriptions, and it rolls them all up into one email a day. So you get one email with 67 things. But Samebox sounds great. Sounds great also.
No, that's cool that you one-up me. Like, oh, I've got this cool thing too, but it's free.
I've got this thing. It's way better. way less money. But seriously, when it comes to money, people say, well, what does this have to do with money? But Rocky, time has a lot to do with money, right? I mean, you got to be able to focus on the big things. You can't focus on the big things when you're constantly waiting through baloney.
Absolutely. You know, I look at everything as a time versus money type of an equation. So if I look at something, I say, well, how much is it going to cost me to do that? And how much time is it going to be? And it's always an equation to say, you know, if that's $20, but it's going to cost me an hour, I'd much rather just pay the $20 to get rid of the hour or $50 to get rid of the hour, because I'd rather have the time. I can't buy back time. I can buy time going forward, but I can never recover it going back.
Does that depend on how old you are? Because I think about, and maybe in debt or day-to-day with your money, because it seems like when you're day-to-day with your money, there's things you'll do to just keep the boat afloat that you and I will probably pay for now.
That's absolutely true. I mean, if you don't have the money, then that's an issue. But at the same point, if you don't have the money and you're constantly working, do you have time to improve your value so you can get more money for your time?
Right.
And that's a constant battle that you've got to sit down and figure out for yourself. I don't think there's a one thing works for everyone answer.
At the end of the day, the reality is that everybody's given the same amount of time, right? And so if you're kind of stuck in that cycle of, you know, I'm working my tail off, I can't find the time to do that, it's almost now at that point where you have to just take a leap of faith and you have to pay yourself basically that time. You have to say, well, I'm going to forego something to get that time. I'm going to pay myself that time so that I can finish school or so that I can work on that project, you know, that the article said that's, you know, work on your startup, or so that I can improve my physical fitness, you know, so that I've got a little bit better energy and I can, you know, perform a little bit better during the regular workday.
Are there you have to turn off the TV and listen to Stacking Benjamins. That's all you have to do.
Duh, there it is. Rocky's not going to be on every episode. Every stinking episode.
Welcome to the new co-host.
Thank you.
Everybody else is like, co-host, forget it. Make him the host. But are there specific tools that you guys use to free up time? You know, we talked about a couple like Samebox. I'm interested in tools like that. Rocky, do you have tools that really save you time that you like?
I don't know that I specifically have tools. I have people, in the sense that, you know, we don't clean the house. I pay someone to clean the house. I flip real estate and we do rentals and all of that kind of stuff. I know how to do everything. I can drop a roof, fix electric, do plumbing, drop floors, but I intentionally said I'm not going to do any of it. I'm going to build a team of good people and let them handle the work. I just make phone calls. So,
but you know enough then, but you know enough that you can oversee the project. I mean, I love the fact that you can do all that work. So if somebody's, because a lot of those people can be, I mean, we're having all this work done in our house. These people can be full of baloney, to put it nicely.
Yes, they can. And so I'm the problem solver. I can walk in, they're like, this, this, and this. I'm like, no, none of that. This is how you do it. Get it done. It should take you no more than an hour, and it takes three anyway, but so be it.
I've heard that people, if you want to know the house flipping game, or if you want to know even just house renovation, do it the first time yourself, just so you know how to do it. And then after that, hire it out.
Absolutely. Well, that's what entrepreneurship is. Learn how to do it and then hire it out. Create a system and let someone else handle it for you.
That's funny, OG. I see you nodding your head. And I remember this guy on late night radio, Bruce Williams, who said, you know, if you're going to do everything yourself, you only have two hands, right? The big thing is, how do you get 10 hands working on the project or 20 hands working on the project? That's the only way you're really going to get ahead.
Well, again, that goes back to reinvesting in yourself, or if you're an entrepreneur, reinvesting in your company. You know, sometimes you have to take a little bit lower of a paycheck so that you can hire that executive assistant, or so that you can hire that plumber to work for you, if you know, so that you can do twice as much business or whatever your side hustle is. I mean, we do that here at the show, right? I mean, you and I started this 6 or 7 years ago. I don't even know when now, but it feels like 10 lifetimes. It's, you know, that's how they say days go slow and years go fast. Or maybe it's the other way around. I don't know, but it sure seems like it's been a really long time since we did this. But along the way, we don't make any money doing it, but we've taken what we have and we've reinvested and added people and, you know, equipment and that sort of thing to make it marginally better.
So that someday the product, the finished product might be good. Right. Rocky, you were going to chip in?
I have a secret tool. I use my kids to do everything. Like they mow the lawn. They edit my blog posts. I even use other people's kids to edit my show. My show's edited by a 12-year-old. He does a wonderful job. There's no reason you can't use cheap kid labor.
That is fantastic.
Got a sneaker company that also did that once.
I think on that note, we'll switch topics.
Paying unemployment insurance for those fellas, or do they get work breaks, or they just work to full? You know, you tell them, you stand over there, you go, successful people work half a day. Which 12 hours do you kids want to work?
All I do is fund their Roth IRAs and show them how much money they'll have one day. And they just keep showing up.
One day. Someday. Our second piece, which is rare for us to have two Friday pieces, but we do have a second one today, which I thought was interesting because I covered this on Money in the Morning, our short 5-day week podcast. But I really wanted to get your opinion. This is written by Leah Klingel on Yahoo Finance. Looking for a new job, the cities will pay you to relocate. It says the U.S. job market's so tight, that some cities are offering bonuses to employees willing to relocate. Most of these cities are in rural areas where companies are dealing with a hot job market and an aging workforce, creating a massive job shortage. The city of Hamilton, Ohio, is offering $5,000 towards student loans to people in engineering, technology, science, or the arts. Have you been to Hamilton? It's beautiful this time of year.
I'm sure. It's fantastic.
If they agree to live there for 2 years, Grant County, Indiana will give $5,000 toward buying a new home. The median price of homes currently listed in Grant County is $209,000, according to data from Zillow. Lawmakers in North Platte, Nebraska will offer up to $10,000 for those willing to move to town for a job. According to Omaha.com, companies in the region are also on board. So here's the question, guys. If you're earlier in your career, things aren't going the way that you maybe want them to go. You up for relocating to these different towns to maybe start off on a new foot? Rocky, we'll start with you.
I did that probably 20, 30. I don't know. I did it in my 20s. So that was a long time ago. I can't count that high anymore. I lived in Jersey. I mean, I had a decent job in Jersey, but I looked around and I looked at the cost of living. I said, I'll never be able to have the life I want to live here. Get me out. And so I moved to a much lower cost of living area, and it has its advantages. It has its disadvantages. It's a great place to raise kids, which is what I wanted. And I'm also close enough to 4 or 5 major cities. So if I want to be in New York City, I can be in New York City in about 3 hours, which is about what it normally takes when you live in the city to get from one end to the other. So, you know, I figure it's the same transportation thing. And the difference is my cost of living is 20 cents on the dollar. So I can actually afford to go to dinner in New York City
every so often. Yeah, I would never in a million years move to Ohio, but I don't even drive through Ohio. I'd drive around Ohio. I'd take the long way through Canada if I had to. Those other places sound fine. Where's the list of places that they'll let you move to that it's like Maui or South Beach? And here's 10 grand.
Well, but that's the trade-off, right? I mean, there are these rural areas that people don't think about moving. But to Rocky's point, I mean, if you're early in your life, and let's take Indiana, because I know you and your affiliations, Indiana is a lot less onerous.
Indiana.
Yes, there is no Indiana State. You're not upset about Indiana State University at all. You don't have a
complex. That was where my fake ID was from. No, sorry, it was a different place in Indiana. Never mind.
So do you, Terre Haute, not on your list of those places. But Indiana, I mean, moving to these towns.
It makes tons of sense. I don't know why that's the single greatest thing in all of my years of doing this work. And every successful person I've seen, there's a very common theme. And that theme is that they keep their expenses reasonable so that their savings rate can grow as their income grows. And to your point, Rocky, if you would have stayed in New Jersey, if you would have gone to the city, you'd have made it. You'd have been okay, right? You'd figure out a way to make a couple hundred grand a year. But at the end of the day, you would have been living and consuming all 200,000 of that just to park, you know, just to have a space to like lay your head at night. But on the other side of the coin, we've all seen people that stay the biggest example is like Warren Buffett, right? Lives in the house that he bought in whatever, 1965 or something. And if you can keep your expenses reasonable as your salary continues to grow, as your income continues to grow, now you can save more money. And to your point again, Rocky, have the flexibility to be able to go enjoy those things that the people who actually live in those places can't enjoy because they're consuming every dollar just for necessities.
Not to mention they're like the person in the first article. They get up in the morning, they go to work, they go to wherever she had to drop off her router and come home and watch TV. They never even saw the place they lived in.
You have to. Yeah, and you have to do that, right? To like,
you have to do that.
You got to keep your foot to the... or your foot down on the gas pedal just to keep up. We've read that article on CNBC. They tweeted every 32 seconds about the $500,000 couple in New York City that barely is middle class. And that's a little exaggerated, but it's kind of true. If you can keep your housing costs in particular and secondarily your living costs, I think, at a low number, and some of these places would afford you the opportunity to do that, you have a much better chance of being financially secure later.
A friend of mine had a joke when we moved to Texarkana. He said, and actually wasn't joking, he said, we have a general rule, which if it takes longer than 8 minutes to get to a place, you don't need to go. Like, it is just, and to Rocky's point about, you know, 3 hours to make your way across New York, you know, and frankly, with high-speed internet now, right? I mean, it used to be, if you moved to a place like Texarkana, you were dropping off the face of the earth. And I remember older relatives, and we moved from Michigan to Texas, acting like we were going away. And yet now we can Skype with them, we can video chat, we can be wherever we want, and it feels like we're in the next room most of the time. You know, we have the podcast here. Fast Company did that story about us with the podcast that you can live in a place like Texarkana and still talk to some of the greatest people on earth,
but
like
not
Rocky.
In a place like Ohio.
But not in a place. Yeah. Do they have internet in Ohio, OG?
No, they do not. I've read about it.
Well, I think we're going to leave it there. But I guess biggest takeaways from our two pieces. OG, we'll start with you.
Oh, crap. Biggest things. Well, I think that the biggest one is you have to continue to reinvest in yourself. And as time goes on, recapture more of your life, because at the end of the day, you can always make more money, but you can't make more time.
Rocky, biggest takeaway, you get the last word.
I think just be intentional. Be intentional with your time. Be intentional where you choose to live. Be intentional with what you want and make sure that it fits your purpose and your goals and your desires.
Guys, I'm really excited about our Friday FinTech guest this week. For those of you new to the Stacking Benjamin show, we profile a different FinTech company on most Fridays. And this week we're talking to Dave Hanley from Tomorrow. You know, and I'm going to be a little effusive about this company, even though we don't endorse any of the companies that come on the show. But first of all, they have a really clean interface. Number two, I don't see anybody in FinTech handling this issue, which is estate planning. I think it's such an important area, and I think it's really cool they're handling it. So Dave, prior to founding Tomorrow, he founded Banyan Branch, a leading social media marketing agency. Prior to Banyan Branch, he was VP of marketing at Shelfery, the social network for book readers, which he helped grow to more than 2 million members in 18 months before that was acquired by Amazon. He served as director of product management at Real Networks, where he oversaw the launches of Rhapsody.com and Rhapsody's web services program. And he's been all over the place. He holds an MBA from Stanford and a BA and master's in public policy from Brigham Young. Let's say hello to Dave Hanley. Dave, have a seat. How are you, man?
It's good to be here, man.
I'm so happy you're here. We're going to talk games afterwards, which is always fun. But first, we have to talk about your company, Tomorrow. And I had to have you on because I had yet to see somebody disrupting the, I guess I'll say this broadly, the fintech space by looking at estate planning. Like, what was it in your personal life that said, you know what, I need a better way to do a will?
Well, there's a couple of things. You know, I actually lived through the passing of both of my parents for the last 5 years, which is, of course, really emotionally difficult. But then At the same time, I had a front row seat to what it's like to have out-of-date legal documents and to deal with some of the struggle there. And it was complicated to get everything squared away. And then my last company, I built up a social media agency and sold it to Deloitte. And there we had a bunch of 20-somethings and 30-somethings who, after the acquisition, all started getting married and having babies. And I found that these really amazing people, that really none of them had life insurance or had wills. And I realized when I finally looked at the data that really no one is doing these two things that are really important to have, you know, a good, stable economic future for your family.
What made you think, though, that you could combine that with fintech when, I mean, every state is so much different, Dave?
Well, it's complicated. And unfortunately, there are 50 different insurance commissions on the insurance side that we cover, and there are 50 different estate laws around estate planning. So it was a lot of work to do. But the problem is universal, which is if you have a child, you need guardians set up, or the state is going to pick who's going to watch your kids. And there has to be enough money around. And anyone with kids know there's never enough money to cover what you need today, let alone some years in the future.
So look, walk me through it. If I go to tomorrow.me, what am I going to find, and how do I get set up?
Yes, you can download the iOS app, or you can start using the web version of Tomorrow, which is in beta. But basically, you're going to open up Tomorrow, join Tomorrow. And one of the first things you're going to do is invite your significant other, a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Together, you'll start building out your Tomorrow. Add your kids. Each of you can pick out who you think would make a great guardian to look after your kids if anything happened. You learn what a guardian does. You learn what an executor does, which is the person who's in charge of your will. And then you basically start to choose people. So you just start typing in a name, which is, oh, S-C-O-O, Scott. And we're going to pull from the contacts on your phone the name of your friend Scott, and we're going to add him to your will, and we're going to tee up a text message for you to send that says, hey, Scott, I'm getting my act together, and part of that is choosing good guardians for me and Max, and I think you'd be great. You know, would you be willing to do this for me? And he can click, learn what a guardian does, and say yes or no. So we basically take a process that was very isolated and something that you just do by yourself and maybe with a lawyer that you just met, and instead you actually do it collaboratively with your family and your closest friends.
Yeah, I found the interface was really clean. Like, and I would think in something as tough as insurance and estate planning, it must have been difficult to make that interface as clean as it is.
Well, we knew that we had to begin from a place of joy, right? That when you think about life insurance and you think about making a will, you may not be thinking about having a great experience. Right. And so we wanted to focus on making it easy to understand and making it easy to learn about each of these things, but also just an enjoyable, you know, beautiful experience from how the app animates, how you move through it, and how you really know that you're making good decisions.
So does it start off with the insurance part, or does it start off with the estate planning part, or do I choose?
You get to choose. Most people begin by making a will, which is legal in their state. It takes you maybe 5 minutes to make, maybe a little more if you're going to add lots of different people to your will. And then you print it out and follow the directions on how to sign it. You'll probably need witnesses. And then we take all that information and we help you figure out how much life insurance you need. So if you have two kids in your will and we know their ages, we can help you estimate how much money you're going to need to look after them. You decide whether or not they're going to, you know, you want to provide for college. And we help you get to a number that says, oh, you need this much life insurance. And then it takes about 3 minutes to apply for life insurance because we take things like your name and your address and the names of your beneficiaries, which are your kids or your spouse, and add those to the sort of autofill your life insurance application. And then you just answer like health and lifestyle questions.
And then is there one life insurance company you work with? Do I pick from a bunch? How does that work?
It's actually 9. So depending on the state that you're in, you'll see AIG, Prudential, Mutual of Omaha, and 6 others that you'll see. And in the state of California, we're actually working with Ladder Life, which is a new innovative insurance company based out of Silicon Valley that's doing some very interesting things.
Awesome. And I also know that there's a few states like
Louisiana, where it's the estate planning process is difficult. You guys aren't available there yet. I've heard.
Correct. So in Louisiana is heavily influenced by French law, which right. actually requires unique attributes to the app, which we haven't built. So yes, there's a couple of edge cases that we don't support, but we'll let you know if that's the case.
And when it comes to the estate planning documents, to get in the weeds for just a second, is it a will that I'm building? Is it a trust that I'm building? What exactly am I building?
So when you get started, you get a will, and the will is very easy to do. And then we recommend that you get a trust. And so you can go in, and right now the trust is free. So you can come in and add a trust. A trust is a really interesting document. You know, only 5% of Americans will set up a trust in their life.
Right.
But trusts, you know, if you have children, these are really important documents. So a will, basically, you know, if anything happens to you, then all the instructions in the will are carried out and money gets dumped in different places. A trust allows your trustee, which is someone who you really trust, not to use that word so many times, but someone who you can count on to give the money that your kids need over time and not dump it all on them on their 18th birthday. It's a really important document for looking after your kids. And so we really think everyone, especially with minor children, should have a trust.
Yeah, but still, you just make it so easy to just do it the very basic, a will, which how many people, I mean, you probably, if you know how many people have a trust, you also know how many people don't even have a will, which is frustrating.
That's right. So 80% of Americans don't have a will.
That's crazy. It's just,
it is crazy.
Just rotten. And then how do you guys make money? If the will is free and the trust right now is free, is it working with the insurance companies?
That's right. So we're a licensed broker of financial products, including insurance. And so if you choose to buy something in the app, that's how we get paid, but it's not required to buy anything.
Awesome. And then the next thing is obviously people worry about security. I know you guys at Tomorrow really worry about security. You've got a lot of people's personal life in these wills and trusts and things. What about privacy?
Everything in the app is kept private. Even I've talked about social features, but people aren't learning about your information. They're just saying they're an invitation for you they get to know what their role is, that you've asked them to be a guardian, for instance. In terms of security, we use encryption on the app, and as data is transferred, we use bank level authentication and encryption to keep your data secure. So we take it very seriously. Our head of engineering ran the iOS and Android team for Starbucks, which of course processes hundreds of millions of dollars in payments quite frequently. I know that data. Maybe
second.
The whole world doesn't know that data.
right. Last question I have for you is, I know, Dave, I'm sure you guys are now, after how awesome the app has been and tomorrow.me has been for people, you're just sitting around with your feet up. You got nothing else going on, right? Tell me what's next for you guys.
Yeah, the main things that are next. So you'll see that we have our web app in beta. You're going to see that continue to be invested in, and you'll see the full web version of Tomorrow coming out. You'll also see that on the website that we have a waiting list to get onto the Android version. So you can fill out your email now, but I can tell you that that's coming in the very near future. And every week we look at that growing and developing. And then as we look out in the future, we know that doing wills and trusts and life insurance is just the beginning, and that looking at your entire financial picture will involve us helping you set further goals and adding more things to both the planning side as well as your financial side. So look for us to expand in that direction, as we go throughout the rest of this year and into next year.
Well, I'm very excited about Tomorrow, because I've never seen anybody dealing with this huge issue of the estate planning documents and handling it as cleanly as you guys have. A round of applause here, man. Dave, thanks for hanging out with us and explaining Tomorrow.me to us here at Stacking Benjamins.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey there, trivia fans. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and I just realized these guys gotta start ponying up at least some minimum wage for this gig. Sure, all the great perks the guys give me, like getting to wash their cars and making foamy beverage runs, nearly make this the best job ever, but maybe a little something in the wallet would be a cherry on top of this awesome career. Time to lay on some of my Doug-alicious negotiating skills while I teach these guys a lesson. How about this trivia? In what year did the U.S. federal minimum wage go all the way up to $1? I'll be back with the answer and probably a cash register full of money to throw at my El Camino in just a moment.
I saw you on the phone. You were Googling, weren't you?
No, he's starting to read through his messages. He started to read through his.
He's like, I've got 163,000. This is going to take me a while. <That's right.
laughs> Rocky is the guest. You can go first or last. And we play Price is Right style, where you are the, you know, the closest without going over. Now, here's the deal. The score right now among our regulars, we have one regular here. So your job is to keep the score where it is. OG 1, Len 1, Paula 0. Your job is to keep Paula in the game today. So no pressure besides that, Rocky. So what year? Well, do you want to go first or last?
You want to go first or last?
I'm going to go last.
Smart, smart choice. $1.
He's going to go 1 year over you.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let me think about this. I think, so minimum wage right now is what? Seven and a quarter, something like that.
7.25 is the federal, right?
Okay. Minus inflation, minus protests over the last some years. Hits a dollar. And I'm going to say, so triples every 30 years since 1990. Gosh, what did I make at the... I remember how much money I made when I was a busboy. That was a little less than minimum wage because we supposedly got tips. That was in the early 90s.
I used to love that sham. I worked at the Tasty Freeze when I was 14. I was taking like guts out of chicken, right? And I was splitting pieces of chicken and breading them.
Sound like an ice cream place at all.
And supposedly I was getting tips. Like, who's tipping the 14-year-old kid in the back room? But whatever, yeah. Mr.
I did get tips. I did make good money busting them tables. So I'm going to say it crossed a dollar in the year of our Lord, 1977.
1977. Rocky, your move.
So I was a teenager in the 80s and it was 335 and I think it just went up. So I'm kind of going with like 1952.
1952.
May of 1952.
Right, oh, dang.
Thanks to House Call Pro for supporting our podcast. Let me tell you about House Call Pro. I get super excited when I see small businesses beat the pants off of big businesses because with a few hacks, it's actually easier to do, isn't it? People would rather hire a person than a faceless company. You'd rather get to know the company. And if you own a service business, you're in the business of customer service, and House Call Pro lets you focus on being great at your job and still compete against the big boys. And to compete against the big boys, you kind of got to look and act like the big boys. House Call Pro is designed for any service business. It's an easy-to-use app, so you can spend more time with your family or more time just doing the job. Focus on what you know. It's voted the number one software to run your business on the go. Saves time organizing your business. Here's all the different things that you can do. Online booking, payment processing, scheduling, and dispatching. You could send customers SMS updates the entire process. If your customer knows more, they're more likely to refer you. And you know what? If you're getting referred a lot, that's how you're able to increase your rates. So if you're ready to get your service business organized and streamlined with your customers, head to housecallpro.com/SB and tell them Stacking Benjamin sent you. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to waive your $99 activation fee. Go to housecallpro.com/SB. We're also presented by Magnify Money. You know, let's take a quick look at Magnify Money like we do every week. I head to stackingbenjamins.com/Magnify Money. And you know, you hear me typing here while I'm talking. You know that at Magnify Money, that's where you go instead of your bank when you're looking for the best and the financial products you use every day. We comparison shop everything, a pair of jeans, gas prices, doesn't matter what it is, but we'll walk into our bank and we'll just say, what do you got? And we accept that whatever they have is whatever you can get. When it can get so much better, from cashback rewards to 0% interest cards to better CD rates to your savings account to personal loans to auto loans, small businesses, getting your act together with credit monitoring, protecting yourself against identity theft, all that and more are at magnifymoney.com. If you use stackybenjamins.com/magnifymoney, you tell them that we sent you. But back to my point, every week we take a look at personalized offers, and this time we're going to look at savings accounts, which is what we look at. I put in an account balance of $10,000, could have put in $1,000, and The interest rate is 2% at Poplar Direct. Minimum deposit is one penny. It says, though, that the fine print is way too complex. They get an F, but you get 2%. If you drop to 1.85%, you're at Salem 5 Direct, and they get a B on their fine print score. Dollar Savings Direct is at 1.80. They get an A, and the minimum deposit is also zero or a penny. They also have user reviews there, so you can quickly see what people that use these services already like and dislike. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/magnifymoney and compare, ditch, switch, and save. It's so easy at magnifymoney.com.
Hey there, trivia fans. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, back with some great news. No, I didn't score a raise, but I negotiated something way better. Man, can I bargain. Listen to this. If I work here for another 3 months, the guys are going to let me take over the grocery shopping. Sure, there'll be a list, and no, I won't yet be allowed to pick anything out myself. But like I always say, patience, my friend. Kokomo, Indiana wasn't built in a day. Speaking of wealth, how about the answer to today's trivia nugget? In what year did the U.S. federal minimum wage hit $1? The answer? 1956. The first federal minimum wage, set in 1938, was 25 cents an hour. Boy, if it weren't for all the great perks I just negotiated, I'd be thinking about going ahead for minimum wage. But I don't want to push a good thing. See ya!
Rocky with a win.
Just a bit outside.
Awesome.
He did a Paula Pant move there, OG.
Yeah.
Just right on top of it.
See, I was thinking, you said it was 335 in the 80s, because when I was bussing tables, we got 285 plus tips. And so I was thinking that minimum wage at that point in time was probably, I did the math wrong. So minimum wage was probably about $4 or $4.25 at that time.
Yeah, I was thinking minimum wage for me in the 80s was what, $3.35. So yeah, good stuff.
So yeah, so subtract out inflation, triple, so a dollar in 30 years. Okay, I see that.
Oh, guys, looks like somebody needs help. All three of those O's are sponsored by Bloom, smart, simple 401k management. It's that time of year again. All of us made good-natured New Year's resolutions, didn't we? Remember those New Year's resolutions? Boy, those are great, aren't they?
I've stopped giving those up.
Yeah, hoping to change our lives for the better. Well, May hit, and we can't even spell New Year's resolution anymore. This year's different. Make a resolution right now to get your retirement on track and fix your 401k with Bloom. That's Bloom with three O's. Sound tough? It's not. In fact, it only takes 5 minutes. Head online to stackingbenjamins.com/Bloom to find out more with
Bloom.
You can simply connect your existing 401k in a few easy steps, then sit back and relax while
Bloom
performs an unbiased analysis of the funds in your account. By the way, you don't even
like
have
a zombie.
You don't even have to hire
like
them and they'll do that. You could be a zombie with your 401k and Bloom will make it go better. Head to stackingbenjamins.com/Bloom and enter promo code
SB.
SB for your first month free. And you can see for yourself the difference Bloom can make in your retirement. Today, it's our new friend Spencer who's asking help from the Bloom hotline. Let's say hello to Spencer.
Hey, Joe and OG. I love the show. I'm currently finishing up my first year as an MBA student and wanted your opinion on my personal finance. I am 25 and have about $15,000 in savings and another $7,000 in a Roth IRA that I am managing on my own. I have yet to max it out this year. Over the summer, I will have a paid internship that should rake in some nice money. I was wondering if you think that I should put some of that money into my Roth until I can max it out, or use it to start to pay off student loan debt, or just put it straight into my savings account to earn interest. My undergrad loans are paid off, but thus far I have about $30,000 in grad school debt and will incur probably $15,000 to $20,000 more by the time I'm done. I also have a part-time job to keep my costs down while I'm in school. I hope I make it to the fridge. Thanks.
Well, might not make it to the fridge, but he makes it on the show. So, Rocky, what do you think? He can pay down debt with the money, put it in savings, put it in the Roth, or maybe you've got another idea.
You know, I'm not sure. He's asking a tactical question, and I don't really know what his goals are. I don't know what his desires are. And so it makes it really hard to pick between those choices without knowing more of him as a person. Probably the least is putting it in a savings account because they don't really earn much these days. But unless he needs an emergency fund, then maybe that makes sense. Paying down the loans as fast as you can, getting out of debt, that's a good thing. And of course, he's already saving, so he seems to have his things going well. He just has to weigh each of these and figure out how it fits into his plan.
Yeah, Ochi, I think you agree with not putting it in savings unless, to Rocky's point, he's got some short-term goal he's saving for.
Well, he said that he's got 15 grand in cash already. So from a cash reserve standpoint, that's, you know, fairly decent, especially if you're a college kid. You know, they should be able to put food on the table for a period of time if he decides not to work or whatever during the next school year. So finishing grad school with $40,000, $50,000 student loans makes me a little uncomfortable, but allegedly that's what an MBA is for, right? That's the marketing pitch that the B school gives you. They say, come on down just for the low, low price. It's $50,000 to $80,000. You too could have a job that pays $160,000 out of school. So that could be the case, right? He could be getting an MBA and getting a job offer for, you know, $100,000, $150,000 a year. The big thing, I think, with this internship money, Rocky, you pointed out already, we don't know how much it is, right? Is he making 40 grand this summer or is he making 4 grand this summer? That would make a big difference. I kind of like the idea of just hanging out. You can fund your Roth IRA all the way until April 15th of 2019 for this year. There's no harm. I mean, you get a little time value of money loss maybe by saying, well, I could have invested it in May and the market went up 10% and I lost, you know, $400 on that money if I put my $4,000 in, if that's how much he was short. I get all that. But I like the flexibility. By May of next year, you should be done with school, probably have a job offer in hand. You should know exactly, you know, when he's going to start working. I kind of do like keeping the money just liquid, not in savings per se, to leave it in savings, but just drag your feet on making a decision on it. There's no hurry to put it in the Roth.
What about using it
to pay it off in student loans?
What about using it to avoid future student loans and just pay more cash for his next semester?
Yeah, that's a great idea too. That's what I mean. Just kind of drag your feet a little bit. And that's kind of what Rocky said too, depending on how you feel like the summer's going to turn out.
I like this idea. You know, I love this idea of beginning with the end in mind, right? And to Rocky's point, we don't know what the end is. We don't know what his end game is. And until we know the end game, I'm not sure. I do like the idea of less debt. I like one that he didn't mention, which is, I know that you can take the principal out of a Roth pre-retirement, but I really like that money in the Roth when you get to retirement for flexibility then, right? For post 59 and a half purposes. So I like the Roth as later on money, even though you can use it for all this other stuff. I like it later on. So, you know, part of me thinks that $15,000 in savings, if he's not sure what to do and he already has a plan to get through school and not take on more debt, there's this huge middle ground there. There's this huge, so maybe put it in some type of investment, exchange traded funds or something in a brokerage account that he can get it whenever he wants. So he's got flexibility because we know, right? I mean, at some point, I don't know if he owns a home yet. To Rocky's point, we just don't know enough. But if he doesn't own a home yet, at some point, he's going to want to buy a home. He's going to maybe want things in the future that might be pre-59 and a half. He can take that money later on and shelter it. So maybe flexible, but invested if he doesn't need it right away.
I think the biggest decision he has to make isn't about this money. It's about how he's going to live his life after grad school so that he can knock out all that student loan debt, whether it's 30 grand, 40 grand, 50 grand, or 60 grand. If you can spend that first year of postgraduate school living like a pauper and not doing all those things, you don't need to buy a Mercedes, you don't need to buy a house or any of that sort of stuff. If you can really kind of live like a college student one more year, I think you get on the other side of all that student loan debt, then you'll have all the money in the world to invest and be off to the races.
Thanks, Spencer, for the question. If you've got a question for the show, head to stackingbenjamins.com. And at the top of the page, you'll see questions for the show. Click that link. And guess what? It'll show you all the different ways you can interface with us. And we're happy to answer your question. That's going to do it for today, guys. So, OG, we'll start with you to give our guests the last word here. So what's happening with you, man? Your Twitter account finally reached 30 followers?
Yep. I'm up to... I'm in the low hundreds still. really feel like that number should be closer to what yours is at like 8,000. I mean, I feel like we share the stage, ergo we should share Twitter followers. So maybe some of yours can come to me to even it out.
I got to say, I do have to say lately, I've been so busy. You're far more entertaining on Twitter than I've been lately. I've barely been there, and you're always doing, every time I get on there, you're doing this song and dance routine that is just hilarious.
Well, that's nice of you to say. Biggest thing for me going on right now is my after school activity is in full swing. A little traveling, just finishing up here. I've been in Houston. I've been in Detroit. I've been in Toledo. I've been in Santa Monica.
You went to Ohio.
I heard that too. I know. Yeah.
He went to Ohio.
Let's be clear. There was a purpose, and it was a short excursion for the sole purpose of personal enjoyment in golf.
In Ohio.
In Ohio, right.
The only reason I did that, damn, I got caught. I've no other explanation. It was purely for golf, but it was a short stint. You know, Toledo was once part of Michigan, right?
It was a big Toledo war. That's how Michigan got the Upper Peninsula.
Yeah. So there you go. So it still counts as part of Michigan in my book.
Yeah. Asterisk on Toledo. Right. Nice job.
That's what I do. It says, welcome to Ohio when you cross into the border. And I have a little asterisk there. And in my mind, I draw a line just kind of like at Perry. Perry South. That's all Toledo. Toledo North is all of Michigan. Anyway,
nearly.
So lots of traveling. Kids are almost done with school. In-laws are visiting for just a short visit of only about like 4 weeks. So that's fun.
Nearly a say, but not quite. The big thing for you and I, OG, before we find out what Rocky's doing, is we're taking the show on the road, which we announced on our Stacker newsletter, stackingbenjamins.com/stacker every week. But if you don't get that, we are taking the show on the road. We are headed. We're doing a 3-city tour, Rocky. We're going to do a live show. We're at the Improv in Kansas City on, we'll be at the Improv first in Orlando on September 25th.
I'll be there.
That's awesome. So we'll be there the day before FinCon. And then 2 weeks later on Tuesday, that's October 9th, we're coming to Kansas City people. We'll be at the Improv in Kansas City. And then we are at Ant Hall in Detroit on October 23rd. So every other Tuesday, we're going to 3 cities. I don't know if you know this, Rocky. Those are the same 3 cities the Beatles went to when they first came to America. That's the...
I did not know that.
So, yeah, it's a whole...
Detroit's really close to Ohio.
It's very precariously close.
When I fly from here, I talk to the pilot about taking the circuitous route through Wisconsin.
You go up and knock on that door and they open the little window, the little food window.
No, I run to the front. I go, hey, I need to talk to the pilot. I need to talk to the pilot.
With your
and then
hands?
I wake up in Detroit after a nap.
Probably not. Probably doesn't work that way. But anyway, we're coming to those cities. We got more to come on that. We'll have a page here very soon. Rocky, thanks a ton for hanging out with us today.
That was awesome. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, so you've had some great shows. Tell us a little bit about what's coming up soon on the Richer Souls podcast.
So we had this guy on, Joe Saul Sehy.
Who?
People actually learned stuff. It was amazing.
You're going to ruin my reputation.
Well, they probably won't listen, so they won't know. And then after you, we had on Damian Lupo, and he lost $20 million. And then he spent $1 million investing in himself to figure himself out with self-development. So awesome story. And then right after that, we're going to have my daughter on, and we're just going to talk about how to raise money savvy kids and how to get them to do all your work and her unconventional path in high school and her journey off to college. So
your daughter's been on this show talking about that.
She has, ahead of me, of all things. Can you believe that?
She was live from FinCon talking to us. That was fantastic. It was great. I can't believe we got her before you, but you know.
I don't rate. That's life.
kids first. Well, you know, had you been from Ohio, I don't know. Probably not. All right. By the way, so people, how do people find the show?
At richersoul.com. And if you want to email me, it's rocky@richersoul.com.
Awesome. And if you're driving down the road or walking the dog or whatever it might be, you know what? We'll have links to all Rocky stuff at our show notes, stackybenjamins.com. All right, Doug, take it from here, man. What should we have learned?
So what gems should we all take away from this here podcast? First, take some advice from the team at Tomorrow and finish your estate plan. It's as easy as filling in a few boxes on your phone. Now you have no excuse anymore. Get to it. Second, worried about time? Carve out more moments by planning your day, starting with what's important and not just focusing on what's urgent. You'll find yourself happier and taking care of the right business during the limited time you have every day. But the big lesson? Negotiate with Joe and OG if you want to score some huge wins. Those guys do not know what they're doing. Check this out. I just got them to let me do all of the lawn care all summer long for Joe's mom. Those guys do not get to do any of it. It's all me, baby. They even, get this, threw in letting me pull all the weeds in the garden, too. Those screwballs have no idea what a whirlwind negotiator they were up against right here in Old Doug. Special thanks to Dave Hanley from Tomorrow for joining us on today's show. Head to tomorrow.me for more, or check out the link on our show notes page at stackingbenjamins.com. Thanks to Rocky Lalvani for joining us in the fun today. Check out his Richer Soul podcast at richersoul.com. Susie Orman appears courtesy of, well, Susie Orman doesn't appear on our show, but if she did, she'd be courtesy of susieorman.com. This show was created by Joe Saul-Sehy, produced by Richie Rutter-Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. Online, visit us on Twitter at SBenjaminsCast or on our Facebook page. Shannon Cowan is our community manager and social media guru. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and I'm wondering if KY jelly is actually made in Kentucky. SB Podcasts may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor.
Welcome to the after show. This is the part of the show that doesn't exist. Rocky, I don't know if you know the rules around the after show. What happens here stays here. We don't talk about it.
Okay. So,
no such thing as the after show. So I made a big mistake. I actually sent you guys ahead of time, like what we were going to talk about. And then I went, don't read it. I told both of you don't read it. And luckily OG reads nothing. And Rocky, you glanced at it.
I wanted to know what was so important.
Overachiever.
These are 21. If Rocky gets the first three or four right, we'll know that he read this thing. But 22, I thought these were funny and interesting. And actually, we played this game at our house last week with some friends. I'll say the first half. We kind of did this. Remember before the break when Shannon was here?
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, when Shannon was here and we talked about none of them. Yeah, 22 phrases Americans say that leave foreigners completely stumped. I absolutely love these. Zoe Miller wrote this. Whether they're related to food, football, or feline friends, American idioms can be colorful and confusing to people visiting from abroad. And we never think about these, right? We never think that these things that we say all the time are things that somebody from someplace else will go, what the hell are they talking about? And it's funny, I roomed with a guy from Australia when I was in college, and I would say things, and he'd have no idea what I was talking about. And he'd stop me with some of these and go, what? So let's
see. Did he give you a Vegemite sandwich?
He did not. I still don't know what a Vegemite sandwich is. And I'm sure we'll get letters from some of our friends like Nick, who made the Stacking Benjamins card game for us and sent it to us. That's the kind of loyal listeners we have here. They don't, by the way, learn stuff like they do on the Rich Your Soul podcast, Rocky. They make card games with our pictures on it and send them.
That works.
When a task is easy or straightforward, okay, we're gonna play a game here. OG will get the first one. Rocky will get the second one. And we're going to go through 11 of these. Here we go. OG, you ready?
Sure.
We got to turn everything into a competition here. That's what you do in the basement. When a task is easy or straightforward, Americans will say it's a...
cakewalk.
I think we got to give it to them because it's a piece of cake.
Come on.
Yeah, I think we do have to give it. Rocky, you all right with me? Us giving it to him?
As long as I get a piece of cake.
I know, right? Where the hell's a piece of cake? So 1-0 OG. Rocky, this one's yours. When something's easy to understand, they might say it's not
hard.
Well, think about a phrase a foreigner wouldn't understand.
When something's
easy, when something's easy to understand, they say, you know, come on, it's not
rocket science.
Not rocket science. 1-1. When Americans are talking about unimportant things for a long time together, they're blanking the blank.
Shooting the breeze.
This, Rocky, is a superstitious phrase that originated in the American theater when they want you to do well.
Don't break a leg.
Break a leg. OG, a person who second guesses things is called a... The thing is done, it's over with, and somebody goes, oh, we should have.
I'd say they're wishy-washy, but I don't know.
They're a Monday morning quarterback. Another sports-related phrase where we're coming up with a number that's kind of close to the number, but who cares if we get it exactly right? That's called a...
Is that a gimme?
No.
At least in golf, it's a gimme.
Horseshoes and hand grenades.
It's called a ballpark figure.
Oh.
A ballpark figure. If something's trivial or worthless, OG, Americans say that it's for...
The birds.
For the birds. We are 3-3. Rocky, put up your fist in preparation for a fight. Americans say...
Put up your dukes.
Put up your dukes. OG, when Americans are in a difficult position, they say they're behind...
The eight ball.
If you've revealed a secret, Rocky, if you've revealed a secret, you say that the cat...
Is out of the bag. Actually, it's over your left shoulder.
The cat's been thrown. No, it's horrible. If you let out or divulge something, you've spilled?
Spilled the beans.
I'm giving you guys too much of this. I'm going to start giving you less. Round two. It's going to get harder. All right, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Who went first? Rocky went first, right? Did Rocky go first?
No, I did.
Okay. Rocky gets one more then. If you're upset over something you can't fix, they say don't.
You're upset over something you can't fix. Don't harp over it.
Upset over something you can't fix. Don't. Oh, I think that OG knows it.
Argentina. Don't cry over spilled milk.
Don't cry over spilled milk. All right. The score is 5-5.
Steal. That's how you got to do
it.
Steal. You got to have the buzzers. And
we're going to do that in round two. Let's do that in round two. But we start with.
Love how we make this up as we go.
Here we go. Yes. All right. When Americans are setting something aside for consideration later, they say that they're OG.
Putting a pin in it.
Oh, that's a good one, but that's not the one we're looking for.
Sleeping on it.
That's also not the one we're looking for. Those are both great. We're tabling an item. We're tabling it.
Okay.
Okay, Rocky.
We disagree.
If you're joining a popular activity or supporting a popular cause, you're...
One of the gang? I don't know.
OG for the steal.
He's going to steal.
Jumping on the bandwagon.
OG's turn. When you abruptly withdraw from an addictive substance or behavior like smoking, you quit?
It's cold turkey, but there's a joke there.
You quit cold turkey. Often heard on procedural dramas series... This is a reference to the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which protects people from self-incrimination. Rocky, this is the easiest one ever.
Huh? On the advice of legal counsel, I'm not going to incriminate myself.
And what do Americans...
Take the fifth.
Exactly. Yes, I plead the fifth. All right. OG 7, Rocky 6. OG, if two Americans are on the date and they split the bill, they call that?
Going Dutch.
Going Dutch. If something is gone unnoticed or ignored, Rocky, it's said to have?
Something's gone unnoticed, ignored. It's said to have? Can I call a friend?
Just really like just change all the game stuff as we go. I love it.
Don't we have to say yes? Isn't a rule?
I'll just call OG. He's here.
OG, you going to steal it?
No, I don't know.
Something's gone unnoticed or ignored. It has fallen through the cracks. Fallen through the cracks. Back to OG. If you're seated in the highest and cheapest seats in an arena or performance space, you're sitting
nosebleeds.
In the nosebleeds. Rocky, if an American has completed the hardest part of a task, they might say that it's.
I'm thinking over the hump, but that's not what you're looking for. The hardest part of the task. Downhill from here.
All downhill from here. Nice job.
Bingo. Yep.
OG, if somebody's betraying you for their own advancement, they are? This might be Rocky's chance to catch up here a little bit. Somebody's.
I mean, I've got it on the tip of my tongue, but I can't say that.
Somebody's betraying you for their own advancement, Rocky, for the steal.
Throwing you under the carpet, throwing you under the rug.
Throwing you under the bus. That's close enough.
Throwing the bus.
Yep. You
throwing
got
you under something.
Rocky's now only down by one, and it is Rocky's turn to tie. This is the last one.
Uh-oh. Pressure.
Perfect.
Yes. If you could make it a tie and make this episode go like every other one where we just had an exercise that meant nothing, it would be perfect. Like if we can end in a tie like a soccer game that goes forever that you watch and then nobody wins.
Soccer game in Ohio.
It'd be the worst. Here we
can
go.
I use Google?
If you sit in the front passenger seat, Rocky, you are?
Shotgun.
Riding shotgun. That's awesome. Nice job, gentlemen. It's a tie. We'll see you next time. Well, this show's over, Stackers, but you know what? It's Military Appreciation Month, and that means that we've got time still for a shout-out to members of our community, members of our family who have served our country. And you know what? Today, I want to give a shout out to two of my uncles, my Uncle Henry, who was in the Army. Let's do three. My Uncle Eddie, who was in the Army, and my Uncle Bill, also in the Army. And two of them served in Vietnam. One served in Korea. And a big thanks to all three of my uncles, my dad's brothers who served like he did in the military. And this Military Appreciation Month, Navy Federal Credit Union wants to celebrate not just my uncles, but they want to celebrate their members who go above and beyond. Navy Federal offers member-only exclusive rates, discounts, and tools to empower their members and help them reach their goals. Of course, you may be eligible for Navy Federal membership and you don't even know it because it's open to all branches of the military, veterans, DOD employees, and their families. They're all eligible. And I want to reiterate, and their families. If you have family, like I do, who served in the military, well, then you're eligible for Navy Federal membership. Navy Federal's employees are part of the community they serve, and many of them are military family members, reservists, or veterans. Here during Military Appreciation Month, Stackers, go visit NavyFederal.org/celebrate, and you're going to see all of Navy Federal's Military Appreciation Month offers so many cool things they're doing for veterans. You'll also see all their other awesome 24/7, 12 months of the year offers. That's NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.